You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Wildcat Radio 2.0. Bear down, you beautiful people.
What's up, everybody? This is Wildcat Radio 2.0. I'm Adam Green. He's Brett Barry. And, well, I guess no one new has entered the transfer portal. I think Ben Ackerley, one of the walk-ons, entered the transfer portal. That came out since we last recorded, of course, from men's basketball. Kirk Crease and Adama Ball still in the transfer portal. Crease has been taking some visits as Sawton, Nebraska, so that's cool. But Brett, yeah, it's basketball offseason, spring sports time.
It is. And, you know, I and most sports fans have been distracted by Major League Baseball coming back, but that's not what we're talking about today.
We're recording on opening day. Good times.
But I do think I saw, was it on AZ Desert Swarm, that former Arizona players made the opening day roster. So that's a nice thing.
Yeah, and of course, AZ Desert Swarm. That's a nice plug for our guest. We're going to talk to Brian Peterson later. He's a guy who's covered Arizona basketball in the NCAA tournament, Arizona men's basketball, covers football, covers baseball. So we want to get his take on all of that, and we'll do that a little bit later in the show. But yeah, like portal-wise, there's been a lot of movement for both the men and the women. We talked about that some last week and just kind of what it means. And they haven't really added anyone. Of course, the women, though, they have some people. Maya Naji, now she's returned. Helena Pueyo announced that she's coming back for another season, which I think Adia Barnes said that's her biggest like commitment of the offseason, is getting Pueyo back, which, yes, that's huge. So it's kind of, you almost get the feeling, and could be wrong, right? Because it's, you know, some of these players, you like to think that they were like, hey, hopefully they would have stuck around. But I imagine neither Adia Barnes nor Tommy Lloyd are super shocked or are going to be super surprised by the players who do end up leaving, because it's not like you'd be like, oh, that person was going to be a starter. They're going to get all the minutes, all the shots and all that, and they're still leaving. It could be NIL related, but at the same time, I don't imagine either of them are terribly surprised when someone's saying, I'm entering the portal. You know, I'm looking to play elsewhere.
Yeah, I think for to a man or woman that has entered the portal, I would be shocked if either coach was shocked, right?
Yeah.
Usually there's a sense of these things, and, you know, there's open and honest conversations at the exit meetings, and I think that's maybe what helped drive Kirk Carissa to his decision, you know, on the men's side, and some of the, you know, maybe there's different reasons on the women's side, but Pueyo coming back, I do think, is a huge thing.
And very, like, huge.
But, like, Arizona could have played, you know, people like Maya Naji more minutes this year, but, you know, they went with some of, like, you know, what are you gonna, you gonna bench Kate Reese? Probably not, right?
Yeah.
And there's plenty of talent coming in the next recruiting class, and you know, I mean Adia Barnes has proven her ability to not just fill a roster but overfill a roster with talent,
which might be why we're seeing some of the players transfer, why a Maddie Connor leaves or Lauren Fields, you know, or Lauren Ware, why they're, because like they see the writing on the wall that the minutes and the touches, the shots aren't necessarily going to be there next season.
Yeah. And, you know, it's still, you know, we're, you know, next year will be year three for Tommy Lloyd. But, you know, this time last year, people were panicking of what was left on the roster for Tommy Lloyd this year. Right. So it's,
I'm not even sure people knew that Coloco was leaving or that Dale. We all knew Ben Mathurin was leaving. But the other two who ended up going pro, that was not a guarantee at this time a year ago.
No. And then Arizona had got, you know, for as bad as that ended against Princeton, they still were a two seed. They had, you know, big wins over a lot of teams, right? And that was with a roster that was essentially last year's roster with three NBA guys removed. And people are still, you know, they had a lot of success this year in the regular season, and maybe that led to some narrative question in terms of losing in the first round. But, you know, I guess I'm still, I, what I'm trying to say is to all the Arizona fans that are notorious for their ability to stay calm through things, you know, maintain that level of calm, because we don't know what the roster is going to be. It doesn't matter if it's filled out in the next week. You know, a lot of guys are going to enter the portal. We'll know more, you know, 6 weeks from now.
Yeah, well, and we talked a little about last week, too, where you kind of, I feel slightly better about Arizona going into the portal season. You know, let's talk about the men here, going into the portal season this year. Because Adia Barnes has proven herself. She's pulled talent out of the portal, no problem. But with the amount of starting spots that could be available, like, this is going to be interesting to see this offseason play out, because NIL is going to be NIL, right? If there are certain players, you can get more money, significantly more money elsewhere. There's nothing Arizona can do about that system or fit-wise, right? But there should be opportunity where you would think, and we would think, that people would want to come play for Tommy Lloyd in that system. It's going to get you points. You're going to win a lot of games. It's going to be fun. So you'd like to think that they're going to bring in some good players, maybe not the top transfers, because those are going to make bank. You know, I'm sure Arizona has good NIL situation, the Arizona Assist program and everything else. They have a good NIL, but they're not giving, like, what Nigel Pack from Miami, what he got. I think what the rumor wasn't like $400,000 or something like that. Like, Jesus, I'm not paying anyone that to play a season of basketball at Arizona. But if the system, if it is what we think it is, Arizona's going to bring in some high quality transfers, probably better than what they got last season, because they have more spots available. They have more here. Take those minutes at the two, take those minutes at the three, and maybe take those minutes at the four, which wasn't a thing last year for them, right? They had a spot open. You know, I guess Umar Bala wasn't guaranteed to be the center, but they basically had like one or two, because Pelotar was supposed to be starting three. So you had the two guard spot. That was it. So it's going to be different, but it should be better. I mean, we've seen the number days we keep going to the portal every day. It's like, oh, that guy would be good. That guy would be good. Oh, I'd like to have him in Arizona. Like, that's going to keep happening for a while, and Arizona's probably going to get a few of those guys.
Yeah, I think right now the safest starting spots I see locked up on Arizona's roster, and now this could be famous last words, is Umar Bala at the five and
Kylan Boswell at the one.
Kylan Boswell at the one.
That's it. That's,
you know, I think Tabellus is going to at least explore his options, and everything else is wide open, and you're probably not over recruiting or recruiting over either of those guys, and nor really should you, especially with, like, you know, at the five spot, Henry Vassar, you're hoping makes a big leap, right? Hopefully he's the guy that actually would leapfrog Balo in a in an ideal world, and that just means you have an incredible amount of talent at the five spot. But, you know, other than that, and even then, you have some key guys that are going to need to get some minutes, and Pelle Larsen maybe did Tommy Lloyd a favor by proving that he is a better guy off the bench than as a starter, because that means starters' minutes are still available even at one of those wings, right?
Yeah, for sure. So it's never fun watching players leave, even if they're not necessarily key guys. It's like, wow, why Arizona keeps losing guys? But once they start adding, you know, when you see that, oh, this guy visited, took an official visit or whatever. Oh, Arizona's contacted this player. Oh, Arizona, this guy's transferring to Arizona. Then it starts to feel better. And Arizona, it's like football too, right? When players were entering the portal, it's like, oh no. And then it's like, oh, well, they can get players from the portal too. The portal swings both ways. So, you know, if you're Arizona basketball, men and women, like, these are two high level programs where you'd like to think that high level talent will want to come there. Now, it has to be the right situation, you know, NIL, fit, role, all that stuff. But Arizona's not going to be left like empty handed. Come portal, like, when the portal season ends, Arizona's going to have brought in some good players, you know, and we'll have a better chance to see what this roster looks like, because it's going to be altogether different. We talked about that last week, Brett. It's going to be very, very different. Doesn't mean it's going to be worse, you know, could possibly even be better.
I mean, Azulis Tabellus was, you know, all Pac-12 talent, all American, but, you know, in some way, you know, it was he all Pac-12 defensively? Nope.
Was that one sequence where
he's basically I talk a lot of smack to ASU fans of how James Harden is half of a great basketball player, and that's kind of Azulis Tabellus, just at a different position, right?
Like, and then you can win with those guys if they're surrounded, totally. Just like you could win with a Kirk Risa and his inconsistencies if you have Ben Mathurin alongside him, if you have Dalen Terry, if you have Christian Coloco defensively to make up for some of these shortcomings, they're fine. But you can't have a team full of guys who don't play defense, or a team of guys who can't shoot, right? Like, you have to have a mix. And Arizona 2 years ago had a really good mix, incidentally. Last season, not as much.
Yeah, even if Christian Coloco had been on the roster this year, or Dalen Terry.
Yeah, one of them, but at both of them, they're a number one seed and possibly the best team in the country.
Yeah. And that,
LSU doesn't play much defense with Kirk Creasa being Kirk Creasa.
Yeah, I would feel really good about that roster, but that's just that's not the world we lived in, right?
No.
And it's the way of things now, and you're going to have to reload. You're still going to have a foundation of good talent there. Like, Pelle Larsen is almost assuredly coming back. Amar Ballo is coming back. Kylan Boswell, seems like inevitably.
Visar, he should be coming back. Dylan Anderson comes back. And, there's talent on the roster. Philly B. There's a lot of unknowns still. I mean, because Kylan Boswell's never been the starting point guard, right? Visar's never had the key role. He didn't earn it this year. He was a freshman, a young kid. Same with Dylan Anderson. Philly B. You can see him on the floor. He's got size. The guy's not afraid to shoot. He's a good shooter. What can these guys be with a full offseason with Arizona, practicing in the strength program and doing everything they do coming in next year? That freshman to sophomore jump. We saw the jump from guys going into Tommy Lloyd's system in year one. We saw what Ben Mathurin did from that year to the next year. Right? We saw Christian Coloco from year one to year two. Then he had from two to three what that jump was. Dalen Terry as well. And, of course, Azuas Tubelis, how much better he was this past season than he was the year before. So, guys improving. It's been a while since Arizona's really had to rely on players improving. They used to get all those one-and-done type talents. But that's usually what happens. Guys get better the longer they're in a program. And all of a sudden, the player you thought, he looks like a nice player as a freshman. You're like, whoa, this guy's averaging 13 points a game and, playing really good basketball. That happens. It does for a lot of other programs, and it can happen for Arizona. And you know what? I bet it will.
Yeah, and if Henry Vassar makes an Umar Ballo-type leap, I think he's a better player than our Umar Ballo was at his year two. Right.
Yeah.
I think he's a little bit longer. He's got, he's a little bit leaner.
His potential is off the charts. If he could just get his confidence and just refine his game. Yeah.
He has an ability to hit outside shots. Allegedly. We didn't necessarily see that.
Better shot blocker.
Yeah. And so
bouncier. Yeah.
His upside is higher than Umar Ballo's. And if he makes that, the slope of his line to that potential is on the Umar Ballo path, then great. He's the closest thing to an NBA talent on the last season's roster, right? And maybe on next season's roster. And then, I'm really curious to see KJ Lewis when he gets on campus, because all indications are he's that dog mentality and a defense first guy more than anything, which, this year's roster could have used another wing defender. That's for damn sure. So I'm curious to see what he looks like. And he's somebody that, could be a difference maker.
Certainly. So we're recording on March 30th. The Final Four is coming up this weekend. The Arizona basketball teams, as they look today, coming off disappointing first weekend exits, players that they've lost. I would bet that when they take the court again, 7 months from now, give or take, usually the season starts late October, early November. When they take the court 7 months from now, those teams are going to look a lot different, and we're going to feel pretty good about the rosters they've assembled. That's just my guess.
Really hot take that Arizona will be able to fill a roster with talent that makes us optimistic with what Tommy Lloyd's system can do.
But we'll see. We'll see. Time will tell. But Brett, let's take a break, and we come back. Mentioned it earlier, and talk to Brian Peterson from AZ Desert Swarm, who's covered Arizona men's basketball, covers Arizona baseball, been out at camp covering Arizona football. So there's a lot going on, and he's the guy we want to talk to about it.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watching on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
Nah, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
We're back, and we are joined by Brian Peterson, the managing editor of AZ Desert Swarm. Part of the reason we're talking to you, Brian, is because you were there for Arizona men's basketball tournament run that lasted all of 40 minutes. You've been covering Arizona baseball. You've been covering Arizona football at training camp. So you seem like a great guy to talk to right about now. So, Brian, welcome back to Wildcat Radio 2.0.
Thank you for having me, and I apologize for missing out on the birthday celebration the other day in Phoenix. I was spending my Saturday afternoon getting some of Scottsdale's finest road debris out of my tire.
It was Brett Berry's birthday this past week. That's okay. We forgive you. This will make up for it. I guess, I mean, maybe just get this out of the way. We can go from like the oldest stuff to the newest stuff, because we're going to focus mostly on baseball and football. But the vibe, like after the Arizona loss to Princeton, they were in the locker room talking about, oh, you know, maybe we didn't want it as much. Or, you know, kind of like the attitude, the energy just wasn't quite there. And watching the game, and I wrote about this for AZ Desert Swarm, so like, you could tell that was the case, but did you have any expectation? Like, is that surprised you that was the case leading up to that game and just the vibe surrounding that team going into that game?
No, because, I mean, it happened so many times during the season, but it was like one of those, well, okay, well, we'll do better next time because there is a next time. Now there wasn't a next time. And you would have hoped that they would have realized that, and I'm sure they did, but they allowed some of those bad habits to get back into their minds, which essentially was, we don't really have to put in the full effort to beat certain teams because we're better than them. So let's not overdo it. And then next thing you know, they're losing to a team they should beat.
Yeah, it was. I mean, again, we don't need to spend a ton of time on this. Brent and I, we talked about it last week, and you know, Arizona, they lost, and it's going to be an interesting offseason for this program. We've already seen a couple of players enter the portal, and there's talk about maybe Azuz Tubelis deciding to enter the NBA draft or go pro or whatever. So I guess last on basketball, I think before we pivot here, and Brett, you'll get a chance to talk to Brian too, don't worry. But last chance before we pivot here, I mean, how big is this offseason, do you think, for Tommy Lloyd?
Oh, no, it's very big, because it's the first real, are we sure this is the right guy kind of result. Losing to Houston in the Sweet 16 last year, sure, it was a 5-1, but we all agree that Houston was far underseeded. But just the fact that the team did as well as it did in his first year ever as a head coach, taking on a roster that had some promise and had certainly had some great players, because there's three guys that made it to the NBA, but there was so much uncertainty that you couldn't really get too disappointed with that result. This one is a lot different, and so now you got caught on a bad day, or is this a sign that maybe things aren't as good? So when you combine that with the inevitable roster turnover that comes from college basketball now, I mean, Arizona has to replace all three starting guards. They have Kylan Boswell and Pella Larsen on the roster, but they need to add at those positions. They're also adding KJ Lewis, the four-star combo guard that they signed, but they really need to beef that up and get some depth. I think as much as Tommy Lloyd said over and over again about how he felt he could do it with seven players and that a lot of teams are doing that, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to. And I feel like he did it because he felt that that was the best for that team, which I'm sure it was based on the development levels of some of those freshmen. But don't go into a season hoping to only use seven. I think they wanted to use eight this year with the Dama Ball, and that just didn't work out. But they need to add guys, not so much just to be starters, but to provide the depth and all that. And then if and when Azulis either turns pro or whatever, that's going to also impact stuff, because while you'll have Umar Ballo back, will either Henry Vissar or Dylan Anderson be a strong enough option to be a starter at the four if Azulis leaves? If not, who do you bring in? You know, it's going to be, we're closely watching every portal movement. Olivier Kamwa from Tennessee went in today. That would be a very intriguing one. He's a Euro, and he's a athletic big man. You have Graham Ike at Wyoming, who is in the portal. That would be another one that would be interesting for that. But who knows? The next 2-3 months will be very interesting, yes.
Yeah, Brian, I'd really love to kind of get your perspective on what you were saying of year one versus year two of Tommy Lloyd.
Dang it, Brett. That was supposed to be it for basketball. What are you doing?
Oh, well, I just
we're good.
I'm really curious to hear his perspective on this because, like, I almost wonder if Tommy Lloyd and Arizona were a victim of their own regular season success to be a two seed and the expectations that come with that by performing so well in the regular season when there may not be one NBA guy on this roster, right? Like, is that an unfair framing?
No, there was definitely a little bit of that. And I mean, going 11-0 in non-conference and having very big wins over Tennessee, Indiana, and a pair of teams that made the Elite Eight in San Diego State and Creighton with one in the Final Four showed that they were able to beat good teams. And whether they got those teams on their best nights doesn't matter. I mean, it was a one game thing kind of stuff, but then combined with having so many stinkers against teams that they should have beaten, made it very uneven. Maybe they shouldn't have been a two, but based on their overall resume, when you look at the wins over the losses, it kind of warranted it. I mean, college basketball is so weird this year, and the Final Four is showing it, that it there really wasn't like six or eight good, really good teams and then everyone else. I mean, all the twos were out by the Elite Eight, and all the ones were out by the Sweet 16. So, I mean, it was weird in that. But, yeah, there's a little of that. But I think kind of like, I mean, Rich Rod had almost the same scenario with the year in 2014 when they kind of lucked their way into the South Division title for football, getting some lucky bounces of their own and some lucky results elsewhere, being 10-2, going to the Pac-12 title game, then getting crushed, then getting outplayed by a good Boise State team, and then the expectation of, well, this is how it should always be, when that's not a realistic expectation to Arizona, no matter what coaches or fans will say. And then 2 years, 3 years later, he's done because, oh, well, you can't replicate that success. So not that Arizona basketball should be compared the same way as that. I do think that what Arizona did in the first year under Tommy Lloyd and then what they did throughout most of the regular season on the better side has made it so that people can't handle any sort of setback. And next year in the non-conference, their second game of the season is at Duke. And I mean, all signs point to them to losing to that. People are going to unrealistically overreact to Arizona being 1-1 on the season.
What if they go 2-0? They win that game.
That actually might be worse for the expectation thing. I mean, I've wondered at some points, and I think I've discussed this with you, Adam, on Slack, which would fans rather have? A team that, you know, beats all the team, or, you know, beats all the really good teams but struggles against some of the teams they should beat and then has this first round exit? Or is a team that beats everyone they should but can't beat anybody really good and goes out in the first round? Like, which one is better? I'm sure people will go neither, but, you know, you have a lot of those teams that go 21-12 during the regular season and didn't beat anybody of any substance, and then they go out in a 7-10 or an 8-9 game. How is that, you know, is that what you would prefer rather than having some losses to teams you should beat?
So it's not so much the letdown, I guess, at that point, right? If you're the 7th seed or an 8th seed and you lose in the first round, like, okay, whatever. When you're a 1 or a 2 or a 3, it's like your expectations are slightly different because you've proven that you can win enough games, right? I mean, neither are good. Losing in the first round is never fun. But I know for Arizona,
did it 3 out of 4 years in the mid-90s, including back-to-back to a 14 and a 15, and they wanted to run him out of town, and then he makes a Final Four, and then it happens again the year after that, and 2 years later they win a national title. It's very cyclical and all that. I mean, gosh, Tony Bennett has won a national title, but he's also been bounced in the first round a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. Before Scott Drew won the title at Baylor, he was getting bounced a bunch. It happens. It's a one-game elimination tournament, and weird things happen.
The best team rarely wins, so maybe, Brian, we could pivot, Brett. Are we good? All right.
I mean, we could go on for a while, but let's pivot.
All right. Let's talk some baseball. And, you know, Brian, I've seen you active on Twitter kind of talking, you know, doing a lot about Arizona baseball. And admittedly, a lot of people don't really pay attention to Arizona baseball until it's late in the season, when they're in the postseason, or when they get swept by ASU. And it's the latter one here that has a lot of people looking at the Wildcats and Chip Hale's second season. You know, they're 14-9, they're 10-2 at home, 1-6 away, including that 3-game sweep in Tempe that I know you attended. That's, you know, that's why you were in town last weekend. But are things as bad as they seem, or is it just kind of like it's a long season? It's the early part of it. You know, everyone kind of step off the ledge a little bit. Like, what's your take on Arizona baseball right now?
Yeah. It's a very long season. They're 23 games into a 53 game regular season, plus the Pac-12 tournament, and then hopefully the NCAA tournament. They started the year 3-1. That included a very good win over the preseason number 2 in Tennessee. Then they came home and lost their first 2 to a West Virginia team that turns out to be pretty good. They're ranked now. Then they won 9 in a row. Then they, including sweeping Cal to open Pac-12 play. Then they go on the road for 2 straight Pac-12 series and get swept at UCLA and at ASU with a home non-conference in between. It's been up and down and streaky and things like that. But the team they're playing this weekend, Oregon, started the season with 4 wins in a row, then lost 3 in a row, then won 4 in a row, then lost 5 in a row, and now has won 6 in a row. That's baseball. At the pro level, the best teams, if they win 60% of their games, that's incredible. And, you know, you want better than that at the college level for the top teams. But the losses are going to happen. It's the fact that they happened in a row and to ASU is what is, I'm sure, leading to most of the overreaction. And a lot of it, I've seen like 2 factions. Chip Hale doesn't care about the team. It doesn't really care about this, or is treating it like a part-time job. And then the other's going, oh, no, he really cares about it, but he can't recruit to save his life. And I really think, like, both of them are ridiculous. The recruiting side, there's so many people that really don't understand how college baseball recruiting works, in that a lot of these kids commit when they're high school freshmen and sophomores. So those are, like, the class of 25 and 26. I mean, Arizona has 8 combined commitments for those classes. And, I mean, there are, like, they can't even do, like official visits with those or in-person contact. That's like, through coaches and all that, the way it works. The class they signed this past November, which is the 2023 class, won't play for the team until February of 2024. It's very weird how college baseball works. And that's the first class that they were even able to get close to trying to evaluate early, but they still didn't get to start seeing them until their junior year of high school, where a lot of them have already committed. So they're going with best available or late bloomers or things like that. The class they sign next November, I think, is the first one that you can really grade them on. But again, you can't grade recruiting classes in college baseball off of what they've done in the first 20 games of that season, because it's the combination development. The best players you're going to recruit out of high school probably end up getting drafted anyway. And then beyond that, you either have to hope that they don't sign if they get drafted, or they're guys that don't get drafted. And that means they need some time to develop. And so Arizona's using a couple of the freshmen from this class, but they're still a veteran team. And I can understand why it gets people frustrated that they're not winning every single game. But Tennessee, who was the number 1 overall seed last year, I think they went into the postseason something like 53-7 and didn't make the World Series. So because it's double elimination when you get into the postseason, and they ended up losing 2 out of 3 in the Super Regionals. It's kind of what happens. Whereas Arizona ended up going 39-26 and making the regional final. Like, they both essentially had the same kind of result for their season, but with vastly different records.
Yeah, thanks for adding that context that I'm sure will make all Arizona fans truly understand the complexity of college baseball recruiting. And you didn't even go into the fact that it's almost always partial scholarships and never a full ride.
Yeah,
and
yada, yada, 11.7 scholarships for baseball. It is not a headcount sport like football or like men's and women's basketball and a couple other sports where every single person who gets a scholarship is a full ride. There are almost no full scholarships given out in baseball. Like, you can go down to, I think, as low as a quarter of a scholarship, and they're trying to get it to make it even lower than that and spread it over 20-something guys. But, yeah, no, most of these kids are paying for most of their way to go there, and that's, like, even the best one. That's why it's often difficult to get a kid to still stick to his signing for college when a pro team is saying, hey, we'll give you a couple $100,000 to sign with us, even though it may be 6 to 8 years before you get into the major leagues. You can do that, or you can go to college, pay your way mostly, and hope to raise your stock later on. It's a big negotiation that goes on between all of that stuff. But yeah, I mean, Chase Davis, Arizona's best player, who's probably going to be a first-round pick this year, I'd be very surprised if he gets even three-quarters of a scholarship with just the way all that works. It's got to be a combination of, like, academic money that they find and having families that can afford to send your kid out of state or to, you know, a four-year college.
Yeah, so with all of that in mind, Brian, you know, and all the panicked takes or the unreasonable optimism after they win six and then lose three to ASU, yada, 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 you know, you've gotten to watch this team more than the average person, you know, and they're not a finished product. Most teams aren't until they get close to the postseason. I guess from where you're sitting, what do you want to see in the upcoming games to make you feel better about the direction of the program before the postseason starts, if they even make it?
Well, the pitching overall has been better than last year, though the last handful of games hasn't shown that. I think they're starting to fall victim to the fact that their starting pitchers are not going deep, which they didn't, I guess, need, though, because they have a much deeper bullpen. But it's starting, like, some of them have started to struggle, and, you know, you need to see that balance there. So I want to see the pitching show a little bit more consistency on there. And there's just a matter of, like, Arizona, in those six losses in a row at UCLA and ASU, the first four of them were real weird in that they led early, and then they fell behind and did almost nothing. And then in the ninth inning, they had the tying or go-ahead run at the plate. So, like, they had chances in the games. They couldn't come through in the big hit or make the big pitch. So it's just a matter, I think, I want to see them better realize the situations and know when, you know, this is when you really need to come through with that pitch or put the ball in play and make something happen. And that just hasn't happened on a consistent level lately, but it did earlier. So it shows, I mean, winning nine in a row shows that they can build some sort of momentum, and having their next seven games at home is a great chance for them to get back on track.
And as long as they don't give up on the season, give up on Chip or something like that, right? Like, the talent is there, and if they stay with it, like, some of those things, like those late hits, those clutch hits, they turn around, right? It's kind of, I don't want to say it's hit or miss, but it's some luck of the draw, roll the dice. Sometimes you'll come through, sometimes you won't. You just keep the same approach. You know, it'll happen at times. Is that, you haven't got any sense that team is down on Chip or anything like that?
No. We get to see a lot of the analytics, I mean, there's guys that will barrel a ball 110 miles an hour off the bat, and it's right at somebody. Or, like last night, I think, or Tuesday night, Grand Canyon scored two runs on a ball that was hit off the end of the bat that just blooped and landed in like a triangle between first, second base, and right field. It's how baseball works. One of the guys the other day said, it's not like in basketball where you make a great shot and it goes in. You can really put great contact, but there just happens to be somebody there. Mm. And it doesn't work in your way. So it can, those things have to kind of be factored in. But I mean, there's plenty of talent on the team and they've got a lot of veterans. So it should turn around. It's not like, I think, other sports where if it starts to go bad, they just start thinking about their pro career kind of stuff, because this is their audition for their pro career. It's not, if this is their last season and they're draft eligible, it's not like they have like showcases to go to after the season or all-star games for football or a combine for basketball. It's what they do at this time that's going to warrant where they're drafting. So they're still going to put in their effort no matter what.
Fair enough. So I think we're good with baseball then. Obviously, Chip Hale's team, like, I think people want Chip to succeed. They may question if he can, but I think Brett and I both understand that if they don't, it's not going to be for a lack of effort, right, with Chip Pale. Now, it's kind of similar. Football, Jed Fish, you know that guy's working his ass off, doing everything he can to build them a winner. We don't need to go too deep because it's spring camp right now. They're a couple of weeks into practices, and I don't know if you can really gain too much watching the offense going against the defense and what they allow you to see. But is there anybody that's kind of stood out to you over the first couple of weeks of football camp so far for a team that I think is going into this season with greater expectations?
Well, on the offensive side, it's pretty much a lot of the same guys from last year, with the exception of that there's an opening, as Jed Fish said, we have a starting position vacated at wide receiver, in allusion to Dorian Singer going to USC. And that stands to be Kevin Green Jr. right now, who played a little bit last year as a freshman. He is in line to be the slot receiver, whereas Jacob Cowing would move outside and take Dorian Singer's position. Not what you would normally expect from someone of Cowing's size, but it's what he did at UTEP before coming to Arizona, and he put up like over 1,300 yards in 2021. So they've got that as one of the changes. They brought back all four of the running backs who carried the ball last year, and that included guys who weren't here last spring, in like Speedy Luke and DJ Williams. So they all should be better, and if they can use all four of them effectively, it keeps them all fresh, and then you can go to like that one guy down the stretch, which would probably be Michael Wiley, since he has shown the most reliability. There are some openings on the offensive line. There's at least one, which would be the starting right tackle. So they're going through a bunch of different guys. Joe Borjon is probably in the lead right now for that spot. Whereas left tackle will be Jordan Morgan, assuming that he can rehab successfully from his knee surgery. So in the meantime, they're cycling a bunch of guys at that spot. So that can't really gauge too much until we get into the summer, because then they're also bringing in a couple offensive linemen that they signed that won't get here till then. Defense, on the other hand, I don't know if you can really say who's going to be at what spot yet, because Johnny Manson is trying out a bunch of guys at every single spot. They brought in so many dudes on the defensive line at linebacker, added some a junior college transfer at cornerback that has looked really good, Charles Yates, who right now would probably be the starter at one corner alongside of Ishan Prysock. That's how good he's looked. But again, it's not like a guarantee, because they've got some more DBs coming in the summer. Linebacker Justin Flo has looked solid so far. Daniel Heimely, that they got from Washington, has been really, really emotional and just kind of like an on-field leader and doing a lot there. The defensive line, they added Bill Norton, they added Tyler Manoa, they added Oren Patu on the edge to go with Tai Uiagalelei. I had to take a little bit there.
I'm just going
to
bring you in. I'm going to have you record the names for me, and I'll just dub them in whenever we have to pronounce someone, because I can never do this as good as you do. Like, I'm awful at
it. Well, see, and normally I don't worry about it because I don't ever have to say it. I just have
to spell it.
Right. Yes. So, but that, I've gotten that down, and I've got a couple cut and paste saved and whatnot. But I think the defense is going to be vastly improved, but that also doesn't necessarily mean they're going to be holding teams to like 18 points a game. It's college football. The Pac-12 brings back a ton of great players on offense, so many good quarterbacks. If Arizona can, the game I look at to really show where Arizona can be good enough on defense to win games is the UCLA game. They held that very, very good UCLA offense to 28 points, which shouldn't, you know, you think, oh, that's not really good, but it was when you consider that they were giving up 49 and 50 and stuff like that to other teams that weren't as good on offense. So I look at that as a real blueprint for if their offense can continue to do as well as it did last year and maybe get even a little better when it comes to not turning the ball over and being more effective, scoring touchdowns in the red zone, then giving up 20 something to the right below 30, perfectly fine. I think that fans will be okay winning 34 to 28 games rather than losing 19 to 7 games.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I speak for most Arizona fans that a massive improvement to approaching average on defense would be a welcome sight. But one other question for you, Brian, is, you know, there's a lot of newcomers that are also coming in the fall, and there's gonna be a lot of roster changeover as the portal opens after spring practice. It tends to be a time when the roster turnover and churn happens, not just in Arizona, but across the country. Mm-hmm. What's your over under on departures post spring for the Arizona football team?
I would say around 4, if maybe 5.
That's not bad.
I mean, Jaden Young is not on the online roster anymore, so I'm guessing that means he's gone. That puts my number at like 81 or 82 scholarships that they have right now, scholarship players. So barring them adding, putting a walk-on on scholarship, which could be the case with a few guys, they're going to have a few available, but I think they would probably also lose one or two guys, maybe one of the offensive linemen that has not seen any action in these first few years, because it could be a case where these guys, they gave it one more shot, go through spring, see where they are, but they also now have finished that semester that maybe they're graduating, and you have that portal window that opens up May 1st to May 15th, in addition to guys who have already graduated can enter at any point. So yeah, I could see a couple guys going in there. Not anybody that you would think is going to be like a big contributor. More might be the guys where, I'm surprised they're still here. though one of the guys that I would put in that category, Dalton Johnson, who was a guy who signed with Arizona like 10 days after Sumlin was fired in 2020. He didn't play the first year in 21 and started to play a little bit last year. Now he's right there in the mix at one of the safety positions. So he's just kind of stuck with it and worked. And I thought he was somebody that might have been like most of the last Sumlin guys were like, well, it's clear that we're not part of the future plans, but you know, he's made the most of it, and he could be a guy that has a big contribution this year. So a potential positive development from the end of the Sumlin era.
Wow. That would make for like one from the Sumlin era. That'd be great. Well, Brian, I think that should do it.
I mean, he did recruit Mike Wiley.
That's true.
And there've been a couple guys, but yes, by and large, the recruiting was really bad. And most of those guys didn't stick around for very long. I mean, even while he was here, there were guys from like the 19 and 20 class that were gone within that first year or so, where it was pretty evident that they missed badly on these guys and just needed to cut weight. But I think the roster's in decent shape. And when you combine that with the schedule and all that, the opportunity to get to 6 wins could be there. So we'll
you see. Heard it. You heard it here first. Arizona's winning at least 6 games from Brian Peterson of AZ Desert Swarm. Well, Brian, we appreciate the time. Of course, you can find Brian on Twitter at RealBJP. A lot of good stuff there, and AZ Desert Swarm, the website. I know that's a shameless plug because I also write for AZ Desert Swarm. I'm going to get you a piece soon, Brian. Don't worry. You know, it's going to happen. I'll have something for you in the near future. But is there anything that you got kind of in the pipeline that you're excited to put out, or that you're waiting for, you know, that's going to be coming in the next couple of days that you want people to be ready for?
No, not really. It's mostly right now it's news. Just waiting for additional players that will leave or that they might add for basketball. There's a scrimmage for football on Saturday night. So we'll talk with Jed after that and could get some decent insight on where things stand. Then a 60% of the way through practice. And then I'll just have my baseball coverage from this weekend against Oregon. So keep close eye.
There you go. AZ Desert Swarm is the website. Brian Peterson is a guest. Appreciate your time today. And certainly with football and more baseball, we'll catch up with you again down the road.
Sounds good.
All right, that's Brian Peterson. And we come back, let's talk some news and notes, because that's a lot going on with some of the spring sports. We're back, and thanks again to Brian Peterson from AZ Desert Swarm, because, Brett, we get a lot of really good guests on the show. That's one thing I love about doing this, because talking to you, it just gets boring, you know? It's monotonous, yeah. But talking to someone else who actually knows things, like that, that's great. And Brian is one of those guys who, by way of his role as the editor-in-chief of AZ Desert Swarm, he's out at pretty much everything. He has his hands in pretty much every Arizona Athletics thing that's going on. And, yeah, he's got some good insight there.
Yeah, no, it's a really, he's a fun person to talk to, and he's a fun Twitter follow also because he's not afraid to engage the fan base with their hot takes and steer them to what he thinks is the more reasonable take, which I always appreciate. But yeah, no, I really appreciate Brian's insight on you know, the hoops talk, the baseball program. I'm really curious to see what happens in the next couple of weeks there. And then obviously I think we're all excited about spring football and, you know, the spring games, what, a couple of weeks away.
Yeah.
Get to see it. You know, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'll put it that way.
It's going to be a very merry Gronk spring game. I know we can get in some news and notes here, like starting with there if we want. Rob and Chris Gronkowski, they're going to be the captains for each team. Like the coaches for each team. Why not?
I was going to say, is it inappropriate to say lock up your daughters?
Yes, it's very inappropriate.
Hide your wives, hide your daughters. The Gronks are coming to town.
Of course, people kind of forget that Chris Gronkowski played at Arizona too as a fullback. But, you know, why not? Like it's great that, I mean, I think Gronk was there last year too, and certainly he was there the year before. And to have someone like that, especially now he's retired again, but he's such a personality, such a known, nationally known brand, where to have him coming back and being a part of the program, even just to have fun at the spring game, just raises the profile just a little bit, which is what Arizona needs, right? Until they start winning games at a consistent level, you need to make your program fun. And what epitomizes, what says fun more than the Gronkowski name at this point?
Yeah. So, you know, for like, our listeners,
Yo Soy Fiesta, right?
I was going to say, if you're planning to have a party the weekend of the spring game, buy your cases of beer now, because once the Gronks arrive, you will not be able to find it on the shelves of the stores.
But that's the spring game. That's going to be a couple weeks. Of course, there is, like as Brian mentioned, there is a scrimmage coming up this weekend to kind of get a first look at maybe kind of like, I don't say live game setting, because it's a scrimmage, but a different than just regular practice that people are seeing. So we'll see what comes from that. Obviously, the most important thing is health. You don't want to see anyone get hurt this time of year. But, you know, from talking like the offense doesn't have a lot of spots to fill skill wise. One spot at receiver and a couple of linemen that they're going to have to figure out. Defense hopefully looks altogether different. They've added a lot of talent and there's a lot of players who played a little bit last season or didn't play much at all, but are going to be expected to take bigger roles this year. And hopefully that leads to improvement there. Yeah, baseball. Arizona did beat Grand Canyon earlier this week, so that's cool. You know, it took them 10 innings to do it. And they had to rally to do it, but wins are wins there. And of course, that could get better. But other news and notes, Brett. Azuz DeBellis, Winter Award All American. Not bad. Like, he had a great season. And I think it's easy to forget about that. Like, he had a really, really good season. If you look at the numbers, like Derek Williams, like, you know, for Arizona. And Derek Williams, of course, went on to be the number two pick in the draft. DeBellis hasn't declared for the draft or anything. If he does, he's not going to be a first round pick, most likely, certainly not number two overall. But he was really, really good.
That's some really thoughtful analysis, Adam.
That's what I'm doing here. You know it.
He was really, really good. I agree. Also, wins, I believe for the baseball, you said wins are wins for the baseball teams. And I agree with that analysis as well. It's an appropriate take.
You know, Brett, what else should we talk about? The floor is yours.
You know, I got nothing. It's been a slow
okay. day.
It's about time to hit that old dusty trail, Adam.
Right. Of course, men's basketball, the game against Alabama was announced. They're going to play Alabama in December. That's going to be up in Phoenix. So that's cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We can have a watch party where we just go to the game.
We go and watch the game.
Yeah. We go watch the game with our listeners.
Some ex and Arizona Wildcats, Kobe Simmons, two-way contract with the Hornets. Gabe York, two-way contract with the Pacers. Cool to see Wildcats get their chance. I thought Kobe Simmons was going to be good too. That guy had every like skill you needed. He had the size, but you know, we'll see. Guys are a little bit older now. See if they get their chance late in the NBA season here to make their mark and maybe get into a camp roster next year and make one of these teams. I know York's had some success in the NBA. Hopefully, you know, I like Kobe Simmons too.
Yeah. I think Gabe York has grown beyond his gearing up to try to make a posterized dunk in which he falls 6 inches short regardless of the defender. So I think that's a good career move because that's all I can think of when I think of him now.
That's harsh. Is that bad? Didn't he have Stanford? But wasn't there a game against Stanford? Arizona was down by like 8 or 9 with like a minute left and he made like four threes and they won that game. Like,
that's the other thing I think of when I think of Gabe York.
There you go. And I think he was also part of that documentary. maybe that one that didn't make Arizona look too good.
It's fine.
Yeah, totally fine. But anyway, good luck to Gabe York and Kobe Simmons as they're back in the NBA. The Dusty Trail, let's hit it. You know, we appreciate Brian Peterson for joining us this week and sharing his insight on basketball, baseball, and football. Of course, you can find us on Twitter at Wildcat Radio AZ is the handle. You can find us on iTunes and Spotify. Subscribe to us on both, but if you're on iTunes, leave us a rating and a review because we read the review on the air. Good or bad, you know, we'll read it.
I mean, based on the last 90 seconds, it'll probably be bad, but, you know.
The review? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you made it this far, you know who we are. Come on.
True.
But otherwise, we appreciate you all listening. Again, thanks to Brian Peterson. We'll talk, whatever happens next, you know, over the next week, we'll talk about it. But until then, remember to bear down.
Bear down.